One of Alaska's biggest tourist attractions is disappearing from view. I'm Stephen Light, Public Information Officer for the University of Alaska Fairbanks, with this week's edition of University Focus. The Columbia Glacier is retreating away from the sea. It's going to take two or three decades before it stops its retreat, but within a few years, the glacier will no longer be visible from Prince William Sound. UAF scientists are going to be watching and monitoring the changes as they occur when the glacier returns from the ocean to the mountains. This is a unique research opportunity, according to Dr. Lynn Judet, a visiting associate professor of plant ecology.
There are 52 tidewater glaciers in Alaska, and all of them, except Columbia Glacier, have undergone a process that's called drastic retreat. Glaciers mostly advance or retreat very slowly, but glaciers that terminate in the sea, in tidewater, can get into a situation where they retreat very, very rapidly and spectacularly. Our project is to take a look at the process of drastic retreat now that we know for sure that it's underway at Columbia Glacier, and watch the succession of life that develops on the land surfaces that are freed from the ice.
This isn't the first time scientists have charted the glacier's retreat, but it has the opportunity to be the best from a scientific viewpoint.
There have been studies of forest succession and development in the wake of retreating glaciers, and in fact, even in the wake of retreating Alaska tidewater glaciers. Glacier Bay National Park is the best example of that. But no one has ever had the opportunity to take a look at this process right at the beginning. These events happen over a period of decades, and when you go back to the years in which these other glacier retreats took place, the science of ecology and other biological disciplines just weren't as advanced as they are now. So this is a unique opportunity. This is the last one of these kinds of glaciers undergoing drastic retreat in North America. And it's an unparalleled opportunity then to look at the retreat from the very earliest stages.
As the ice disappears, thousands of acres of land will be uncovered, and there will be a dramatic change in the soon-to-be-uncovered land over these next few decades.
We're restricting our look to terrestrial ecology, to the dry land side of things. We'll be looking at forest development, I guess you could say, and principally at the plants and plant communities as they arrive and establish themselves and grow and compete and develop into the new forest that's going to grow there.
But the scientists aren't sure what will be growing there. Nor are they sure what the ultimate plant communities will be in the area. That's one of the truly valuable aspects of this study.
Probably the greatest area of uncertainty right now in this successional study, this forest development study that we're thinking about, is how much do the early events influence what ultimately happens? And there's sort of two schools of thought. One that while the early events may be important in the early years, eventually everything kind of homogenizes itself out and it all ends up looking, reaching a potential that it already had at the very beginning of the exposure of the land. And another thought says, school of thought is that no, those early events have a profound effect on what ultimately develops, the kind of forest and the kind of vegetation and of course the kinds of animals that can occur there. And this is one of the principal questions that we'll be tackling, again, because we've got the opportunity to observe one of these drastic retreats from the very earliest stages.
Findings from this study have application throughout the state of Alaska.
One kind of use that the information that we'll be developing could be put to would be to give us a better understanding of how to treat drastically disturbed landscapes. Obviously, the being crushed under the weight of several thousand feet of glacial ice and then all of a sudden emerging from underneath all of that is pretty rough way to treat a piece of ground, especially if you're going to be trying to grow a forest there later. And the whole, it's not just a series of isolated events, that is, that a seed arrives and a tree grows. There's a whole ecosystem involved and a whole process for getting a whole forest growing and established. This would be a good model for how to deal with, say, strip mine coal lands. And in fact, there are now, there is a coal mining operation that very well may begin in this part of Alaska, or nearby in the Bering River coal fields, close to glaciers, and so some practical information, practical use could be made of the information that we're developing in that sense.
Dr. Glenn Today is a visiting associate professor of plant ecology with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. For the U.S. Public Affairs Office, I'm Stephen Light. University Focus is produced by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC FM.